If you're thankful today, clap your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Life is worth the living just because he lives. And what a beautiful song. How many people grew up singing that song? That's a great song, a golden oldie, they call it, but still so powerful. You see, we have a reason to live because Jesus lives. And as hopeless as this world may look, I have hope because Jesus lives. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, he lives. Now grab your Bible and go to John chapter 20. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to see everybody here in our 9:15 service. Praise God. The balcony is full. The church is full. And we've still got one more service to go. Praise God. God's good. It's great to see what God is doing. Amen. I love the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word of God is powerful. Able to change us, guide us. Whatever you need, every answer is found in the Word of God. We live our life based on the Word of God. We draw the line where the Word of God draws the line. We love His Word. Amen. John chapter 20, verses 1 through to 16. I'm going to read quite a few scriptures here. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre. And seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre, then she runneth. Everyone say, she ran. And she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. Now, John is writing about himself. He refers to himself as the other disciple. She runneth and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Don't you like that John wrote that about himself? The other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's why they call him John the Beloved. You ought to be able to say that about yourself as well. You might not love yourself, but Jesus loves you. Sometimes we get disappointed in ourselves, but I can tell you, I'm a disciple that Jesus loves. Jesus loves me. John had that revelation. The other disciple whom Jesus loved and said unto him, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we don't know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came unto the sepulchre. So they both ran together, and listen to John brag here, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. I won. I got there first, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he didn't go in. Now, I don't blame him. It's dark. It's a tomb. He didn't want to go in. But then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre, and he saw the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple. So John went in after Peter, which came to the first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Everyone say, he believed. Verse 9 says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Everyone say, they went home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. She stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, woman, why weepest thou? And I don't know where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Who seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be a gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, if anybody's taken him away, tell me where they have laid him, that I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. Jesus said unto her, Mary. Everybody say, he said her name. She didn't know who he was, but he knew who she was. And he said, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She's there and she's weeping. Jesus is there. He says, why are you weeping? She said, they've taken my Savior. She's weeping there in the dark night, not knowing where the Savior is, where his body is. And Jesus calls her name. And she turns and she says, Master. Let me tell you, that's a beautiful response. When Jesus speaks to you, the best response you can give is, Master. Lord, what do you want? I want to speak today on experiencing the risen Savior. Experiencing the risen Savior. Lord, we love you today and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can be here. And we thank you more than that, Lord, but that you are here with us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. And let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory. And all the church says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Experiencing the risen Savior. 2,000 years ago, Jesus rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And we can experience a resurrection with him also. We can overcome sin and anything that holds us back in a tomb. We can also be overcomers through the power of our risen Savior. Somebody say amen. Yeah, he was silent on that cross. The Bible says he was like a lamb silent brought before his slaughterers. But when he rose again and when he stepped out of that grave, he was the resurrected Savior. He had all power in his hands. And the reality for us today, we are not gathered here today in this place and online for a history lesson. If you came for a history lesson, well, you might just get a little bit of that. But I tell you, we came here for more than just to remember a man who died on a cross, was put in a tomb, and to remember a resurrection that happened a long time ago. I'm here to tell you that he is still risen and he is alive in this place, and you can experience him today. Just like Mary at the tomb experienced Jesus, you can experience him for yourself. You see, our old history, everyone say my old history. My old history ended at the cross. My new history began with the resurrection. I am a new creature. I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. And so our text, and I read quite a few verses, and I would encourage you later today to read those verses again. But it's early Easter Sunday morning. The sun is not up yet. Mary is on her way to the tomb of Jesus. She's worried. She's alone. It's dark. And as I read it, you know, sometimes you've been in church all your life and you read something and you begin to question the passage and probe the passage and new things come to light. And I'm thinking, how in the world did she think that she could move that stone by herself? See, she was on a mission because of the Passover was coming and Jesus had been buried without proper preparation. It was a hurried job. They hadn't got the proper spices and the right anointing. And Mary says, I got to get there. She intends to make up for the lack and for the haste in preparing Jesus' body for burial. And when she arrives, it's dark and she can't see much. I don't believe there were street lights then. It would have been dark. And if you've ever been in the desert, you'll know what darkness is. You'll see real darkness. Even when I go to Cootamundra and preach, I had a young American preacher with me once, and he grew up in the big city. He'd never been in the country. He thought that we were going to get lost just going to Cootamundra. He's like, where are you taking me, man? Where is everybody? Don't worry, we'll be right. Driving back, I really like to take advantage of this city slicker, you know. He was scared of everything I'm telling him about, drop bears and kangaroos that can kill you, that come out of nowhere. And he believed it all. Like a typical American, sorry, Sister Charlie. You've had an education. But I stopped the car and I opened up the sunroof and I said, look up there. And he said, wow, look at the stars. He had never seen the stars like that. See, it was dark. It was really dark. And it would have been dark like that for Mary. And she's at a place that I couldn't imagine going. She's at a tomb. You see, when she gets there, she realizes that she didn't need to worry about rolling back the stone. She gets there and somebody has preceded her and the stone is no longer in place. Even in the darkness, she looks and she can make out that the body of Jesus is no longer there. And so what she does is she turns around and she runs as fast as she can and she knows that Peter and John are sleeping. And she bursts into the room and she said, they've taken Jesus. They've taken the master's body and I don't know where they've taken it. Now, I can imagine those guys rolling out of bed, trying to get their trouser legs on in the dark and their shoes and throwing their clothes on and running as fast as they can. And John gets to the tomb first. He looks in. He sees the grave clothes and the napkin neatly folded, but he doesn't go in. Simon Peter has no fear. He goes on into the sepulcher and he sees that the grave clothes are also there and the napkin folded. John goes in after Peter. But a strange thing happens. When John sees the grave clothes, the Bible says he believed. The next verse says that it says that they hadn't even realized. Let me go back and read it. It says, and believe, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And so they go in and it says, and he believed. Now, it is possible that he believed by seeing the grave clothes that Jesus was risen. But he could have also believed the evidence that was in front of him that yes, they had taken the body. And yes, maybe the body is somewhere being desecrated, but we don't know exactly what he believed, but we see through his actions that he just goes home. He looks in the tomb, he goes in the tomb, and he sees where Jesus was laid. He sees the napkin folded and the linen there as well, and he goes home. But Mary Magdalene is there as well. She's standing back. She's standing outside and she's weeping. The two disciples are standing inside and they're looking at where Jesus had been. Everyone say where he had been. Then something strange. They go home. Mary stays at the tomb. It's hard to understand, I guess, why they went home. After seeing the grave clothes, they seem satisfied just to see the tomb empty. They seem satisfied just to see the linen cloth. They seem satisfied to see the folded napkin and they go home. And I presume it's because it's still dark. They went home to go to bed. And it had been a stressful week to say the least. They went home. But not Mary Magdalene. No going home for Mary Magdalene. She was not satisfied just to see the empty tomb. She was not satisfied just to see the linen cloth. She was not satisfied to just see the folded napkin. She was not satisfied to just see where Jesus had been. I want to tell you today, Mary Magdalene said this. She said, it's not about where he was, but I want to know today where he is. I can see that he's not here, but I want to find him. I want to know where he is. And so she stayed there. She stayed at the tomb. Then something, maybe a feeling or maybe some womanly intuition, but she looks back in again. The angels are there and they say, what are you crying about? She said, I don't know where Jesus is. I'm trying to find out. I'm not content where he had been, but I want to know where Jesus is today. And so she looks in and then a voice from behind her says, woman, why are you weeping? And she turned around and she thought it was the gardener. She says, sir, Where have they taken Jesus? Where have they taken his body? I've come to prepare him, and he's not here. And then Jesus says her name. He knew who she was, Mary. And I stand here today to tell you, don't be satisfied just to come to church on Resurrection Sunday and go home. Don't be satisfied to come and remember that he is no longer dead. Don't be satisfied just to know about Jesus. Don't be satisfied just to see the grave close. Don't be satisfied just to remember the resurrection in time past. I tell you today, you can experience the risen Savior for yourself. Don't go home without experiencing him for yourself in your life. If you're in sin today, don't go home without forgiveness of sins and repenting of your sins today. If you're sick in your body, don't go home without experiencing your healing, because it's not enough for me just to know where he was. I want to know where he is, and I'm seeking him. And the Bible says, if you seek him, you shall find him. If you knock, he shall open. If you ask, you shall receive. You can experience the risen Savior for yourself. It's not enough for me just to know where he was. I want to know where he is. I want to experience him today. And I tell you, Jesus is still calling names today. He's still calling names today. Are you hurting today? Are you in darkness today? Jesus is calling your name. Don't be satisfied with religion. Don't be satisfied with just knowing where he was. Don't be satisfied to just see the folded napkin, but you can experience him for yourself. There are testimonies here today. You see Jesus. You say, well, why would he care about me? I am one. One in a big church, one in a big city, one in a big nation, one in a big world. Why would God care about me? I tell you, there are no coincidences with God. You are here today of no coincidence. And the situation you're in today, I tell you, there is hope in this house because Jesus is here. He is risen, and you can experience him for yourself. He cares about the one sheep. He left the 99 to go and find the one. The world would say, you got 99, don't worry about the one. But Jesus says, I care about the one enough to leave the 99. The woman with the 10 coins, she lost one coin, and she turned the house upside down to try and find that one coin. And I tell you, God would use this service to reach the one today. Whoever you are, he's reaching for you because he cares about the one. You see, it's not that you won't go down. It's not that it doesn't get dark in life. It's not that you won't experience pain or fear or even doubts. All the disciples experienced all of those on that Friday and that Saturday. But I tell you, the reality is that he is risen. And you can be a conqueror over all of those fears and doubts. You can experience the resurrected Savior for yourself. And so when he said her name, she sees through those tears and through the darkness. She sees Jesus, the risen Savior. She experiences Jesus, the resurrected Savior. And she knows him. And she says, Master. It was not enough to see the grave closed. It was not enough to see the empty tomb. It was not enough just to see those things and go home. It's not enough just to come to church on Easter and then celebrate his resurrection and go home. You can experience him for yourself. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. It's not about where he was. It is about where he is. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. The Bible says wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, that I am there in the midst. I've come to tell you, he's no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the grave. He is risen, and you can experience him today. Yeah, and those grave clothes, they meant something significant. They represent something. As I was reading the account, the significance of those grave clothes came alive because we are given some detail about them. We are given the detail that, number one, they were folded. We were told that they were made of linen. We were told that the napkin around Jesus' head was in a different place than the rest of the linen. We are told that he was laid to one side. We're told a lot of information and details about the grave clothes. The grave clothes represented something important because, yes, the grave clothes represented where Jesus had been. This was not just a random empty tomb. But there were grave clothes there. There was the remnant of a corpse there. He wanted them to know, you are in the right spot. This is the place where I conquered death. This is the place where I conquered hell. This is the place where I conquered the grave. And I tell you today, it's not about what happened 2,000 years ago. It's about what he wants to do for you today. Everybody say today. Happy Resurrection Sunday. We aren't celebrating what was. We are celebrating what is. He is risen. You see, if it ended with the cross, we would have no hope. If it ended with the stone being rolled into place, we have no hope. I'm glad he died and I'm glad they put him in a grave, but I'm not satisfied with where he was. He is risen. And if he can conquer death, I tell you today, he can conquer anything. There are people in this church that have been delivered by all sorts of things. Alcohol, addiction, cocaine, marijuana. I want to tell you, God still delivers and you can experience him today. Marriages have been broken by all sorts of things, but God is still restoring marriages. All of those things, God restores relationships. People who were meant to die, God is still healing. I believe in miracles. People that had no hope, they found hope in Jesus. People who had come to their wits' end, they found hope and they found life in Jesus Christ. I'm not satisfied where he was. Don't be satisfied to just come today and go home. But you can experience him for yourself. Sickness, he's the victor over that. Addiction, he's the victor over that. Hurt and pain, he's the victor over that. If you've got regret and sin in your life, he's the victor over that. He came out victorious, and because of that, I can have victory. If the musicians could come. He is risen. You see, the reality is we celebrate the resurrection today, but you can enjoy a resurrection in your life today. I encourage you to tarry, to wait on the Lord like Mary did. Wait on the Lord and say, Jesus, I want to know you more. I want to experience you in the power of your resurrection. I don't want to go home satisfied with knowing where Jesus was. I want to know where he is. And I want to experience him today. Let's stand. So for those of us, let us stay in the garden. Let's tarry. I want him to call my name. The Bible says, and he called out, he called my name and I came out of that grave. When he calls your name, when he moves on your heart, when you feel his presence, you can have the victory today. He is risen, but that's not the end of it. I can be risen with him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the spirit of him who hath raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. I know he's alive today. When I was 11 years old, just back in that old church building, the old brown brick building that we had here all those years ago, when I was 11 years old, 35 years ago, I was filled with his spirit. I had an experience I had never had in my life. I was filled with his spirit, and I know he is alive because his spirit lives inside of me. And that's what Paul said. He said, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you see, you also can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. You can also have that experience today. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. I'm sorry to say this, but you've never truly lived until you're filled with the Holy Spirit and He gives life to your mortal body. There's no life like the life that Jesus lives. And so I'm not satisfied just to come to church, sing a few songs, raise my hands, go home. But if you've got a need today, I want to tell you, He's here today. He's calling your name today. Whatever your circumstances, you can find it in the house today. Why? Because Jesus is here. You can experience a resurrection. It's your not then resurrection. It's our now resurrection. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're struggling with temptation today, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. It will give you power to overcome temptation. It'll give you power to live this Christian life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. It's your now. Everybody say now. It's not just a then, it's a now. You can experience in this house today. And I encourage every single one of us to find a place of prayer today. This altar is going to be open, but there's no way we could all make it here today. But find a place and just tarry and say, God, I want to experience you in my life today. Begin to tell Him what your need is today. If you need prayer and you want us to talk to you about repentance, you want us to pray with you, if you want to be baptized, we're having a baptism service right after our 11:15. You can experience a resurrection in your life today. I'm not happy to know where He was. I want to know where He is. Let's lift our hands right now. Jesus, we love you today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the victory that you won at the cross. Lord God, the tomb is no longer empty. But Lord, you are risen with all power in your hands. With all power and authority in your hands, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, church, lift your voice and just praise Him. Oh, Lord, we love you, Jesus. Oh, the resurrected King can resurrect you today. King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, Jesus, we love you today. Oh, yes, Jesus. I want to experience Him today. I tell you, church, don't stand afar off. Don't be happy just to come and to church and go home. But casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Come to Jesus today. He's calling your name. Are you hurting? Are you broken? You have regret. You got sin in your life. You made a mess. I want to tell you, Jesus can restore and make all things new. You can be born again today. Not just turning over a new leaf, but a new life in Jesus Christ. And it starts today by repenting of your sin. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of this silence right now. Don't be afraid of the tears right now. Mary cried tears. Oh, yes, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church, lift your voice. From the balcony to the back of the church today, let's cry out to Him right now. You called my name. Thank you, Jesus, for resurrection power. Lord, I'm not satisfied to know where you were. I want to experience you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to sing this song, and if you want to come to this altar is open. And I encourage everybody, if you can make it to this altar, get to this altar. Spend Resurrection Sunday on your knees. Before you go home and walk out those doors, go home via the altar. Get close to God today. He's calling your name. If you can't make it to this altar, you're in the balcony, let's find a place on our knees. Let every head be bowed. Let's seek the Lord at this time. While He may be found. Can I tell you, He's coming back again for His church. And I want to be ready when He comes back. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord.